I thought of a message tonight for us as following. Following God does take trust, because a lot of times God leads us into the unknown. He leads us into places that are unfamiliar to us, and a lack of knowing or uncertainty, most of the time for humans, it can be a scary thing when we don't know where we're going. I remember when I was a little boy, we went to Clearwater, Florida, and my older brother got a surfboard. Mom, you remember that? And he let me use it. And he probably didn't have a diabolical reason behind it, maybe. But my brother was a prankster, still is. And I remember, I grew up around lakes, so I wasn't really afraid of water for the most part, but I'd never been in the ocean. So I get out there on the surfboard. I'm a little kid. I don't know how old, but I'm pretty young. And I was way out there. I just kept going to where when I got turned around and the waves were going up and down, I can barely see the folks on the shore. I can't when I'm on the top. So I'm out there ways, and I realize maybe I am a little afraid of deep water the more I thought about it, because I didn't really have any idea how deep it was or what was down there or how delicious I might look to whatever's down there. So I'm out there all by myself, and I'm way out from the shore, and my brother, showing his wonderful sense of humor that I love, yells, "Shark!" as loud as I can. Now, I knew that there was probably not a shark there in the water, just knowing my brother. Fortunately, if it was a stranger, I would have been more concerned. But I really didn't want to find out that maybe this was the one time my brother's serious. So I got back to shore as quickly as I could. I was just, as much as my little arms could go, and I had my feet up out of the water, on the surfboard, and I'm just going as fast as I can, because I was afraid of the unknown. I was afraid of what could be. And I think maybe a few of you perhaps would have felt that way in that situation as a kid, because you don't know what's in there. There could be something with bigger teeth than you have. Maybe it thinks you would taste like chicken. I don't know. But it can be a scary thing. But praise the Lord, fear can be overcome. Big fear can be overcome by faith, by genuine faith. And in Genesis 12, it describes the call of Abraham. We're going to look at that tonight if you want to go to turn to Genesis 12. This is a special opportunity that really changed Abraham's life and how he responded to God's call, because it was a call to the unknown. It was a call not only to follow, but to follow where he didn't know where that was going to end up. Starting in verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, which was his name before God changed it to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth, all nations, will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot, his nephew, went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And then here's from Hebrews 11, it parallels that in the New Testament. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. I'm a visual person. It's one reason I like books, because it's just the theater of your mind as you read, and you can see what's happening in a well-written story. And I read that, and I think about the time that this is written in, and what's going on here, and what it might look like. Abraham, and I was thinking about the changes in the world. I think back to 40 years ago or more, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, when some of us were young, and how radically different the world is now, our country is now, from what it was then. I started thinking back to 250 years ago, the founding of our country, and how just remarkably different the culture we live in now is compared to then. Abraham lived on the other side of the planet, in an entirely different culture 4,000 years ago. And I think about how his life and surroundings, and in so many ways, was so different And yet, in so many ways, it was so much like our lives. Because God calls us to trust Him, just like He did with Abraham. God leads us to places that we don't know where it's going to go. And for many of us, that uncertainty, when God's drawing us or calling us into the unknown, it can be unsettling. We have a hard time with that. And I think we get a little bit afraid, and part of that, I think, is that we don't have control. We don't have control anyway. But we lose the illusion that we're in control, right? When God calls us into something that's utterly unknown to us and an uncertain future, and we're just like, wow, I have no control. My hand is completely off the wheel here. All I can do is trust. And that can be difficult. But what we find out is that when we trust God, and we obey God, that He brings in meaning and purpose within His will that we can find no other way. If we don't trust God and obey Him and follow Him into the unknown, we'll never have that meaning and significance in our life that He wants us to have, living in His will. We're going to look at a few examples from Abraham's call, and I'm not going to reference back to that passage all the time, so you may just want to stay there with your thumb and go back to that yourself in Genesis. But our first big idea tonight is that following God means venturing into the unknown. Following God means venturing into the unknown. The call of Abraham, when God called him into the unknown, was completely unknown to him. God said to go without telling him where he was going to head to. And then God later tells Abraham that he's going to have a son, but doesn't really explain how that's going to happen in his old age right away. And then later, God asked Abraham to sacrifice that son without explaining why, or helping Abraham to wrap his mind around it to make any sense. John Calvin summarized these conversations that God had with Abraham like this. God was saying to Abraham in each of these situations, Abraham, just close your eyes and take my hand and trust me. Just close your eyes and take my hand and trust me. That's exactly what God calls us to. I heard a story about a young boy named Saul from Laos. And when he was 6 years old, there was a war going on in Laos. And he was separated from his parents. And he went to live with his grandma and his grandpa. And there was a lot of cousins there. And after a while, word came to the family that his mom and dad had been killed in the war going on. So, of course, he was brokenhearted, but he stayed there with his grandma and grandpa and his cousins. And over time, his grandma and grandpa became like a mother and father to him, and his cousins became like brothers and sisters to him. And 1 year passed, and 2 years passed, and 3 years passed, and it's 9 years old now for him, and news comes one day, a message comes to him. Your mother and father are alive, and they're in America, and they want you to come and live with them. And Saul thought, this can't be. He'd already accepted that they were dead. He talked to his grandma and grandpa about it. He said, I love you. I love my cousins. This is my home. This is what I know. And he didn't want to leave. He was afraid of unknown. His parents were in Seattle, Washington. And he'd never been beyond this little area in Laos. And he said, I'm scared. I don't want to leave. But he did. His grandparents encouraged him to take the journey. So he got on an airplane. He'd never even seen an airplane before up close. So he got on an airplane, which was a completely unknown experience. And all these people on the airplane were speaking languages that he wasn't familiar with, which was intimidating. And there's all these tall white people, which he hadn't really been around growing up in Laos. And so this was total unfamiliar ground to him. And he's just terrified of what's going to happen. But he lands at the airport there in the States, and the doors opened up, and he got out, and his parents were there, just like the message said they would be. And they greeted him, and they smiled, and he ran, and he hugged them, and they hugged him back. And he was so glad that he believed what was written in that letter, that his parents were alive, and that they wanted him, that he could go live with them. He'd been afraid of this unknown future that was before him. But now that he had seen the fulfillment of the promise of that letter, he knew it was worth it. That even though he had these fears, he overcame it and he followed. He went where he was supposed to go. As I thought about that, I thought about our Father, our Heavenly Father, and that if God is who he says he is, and he is, if you know him, if you're saved, you must be willing to trust him. You must be willing to take him at his word. You must be willing to follow him wherever he says you're to go. And if you don't, do that, you can never experience really the just fullness of knowing him, of how much you can trust him, of how faithful he is, of his power working in you to do what you don't think you can do. You've got to let him call you out where in the deep water that maybe you're afraid to go to because you trust him. Our second big idea tonight is that God's calling to salvation and his commissioning into mission are one and the same. God's calling to salvation and his commissioning into mission are one and the same. I don't know if this is the case around the world or not, but I know in the States we have a hard time with this sometimes. We think that, or a lot of Christians think, that there's a couple of different callings here. There's a calling to salvation, and then later, maybe if you're one of the lucky ones, you get called to be on mission in some way. You get to somehow serve God as one of the special ones. But in the Bible, the two callings go together over and over and over again. We see this. When God called Abraham, it was with a purpose. He called Abraham so that Abraham could bless others. That's why he called him. When he called Moses, it was to send him to Pharaoh so that God's people could be set free. When he called Peter, it was so that he could send Peter out to be a fisher of men. The calling of God to come to him was also a commissioning to go out on mission for him. But sometimes I think that God, talk about an unsettling image for people around Kokomo area, God's kind of like a tornado in some ways, like a spiritual tornado that draws you in. He sucks you in, but by his loving kindness and the power of his Spirit, he brings you in, and then he flings you out. You know, he does. He throws you out there on mission, and then he pulls you back in again to get renewed and refreshed. And sends you back out some other direction. But he does. He always brings you in with the purpose that you're going to go back out. When Kim and I fly wherever, we've got a son living in Florida now, so hopefully sometime before too long we'll get a flight down there, he and his wife, and see them. But we always try to get to the airport early, at least an hour early. And when I was with Man of the Mirror, I flew a lot for training and conferences and different things. But I like to fly, and I like to get there early, because I like to talk to people, especially people that I don't know. So if you're annoyed by that, at the airport, I'm that guy, I apologize. but I can't leave strangers alone. I love making new acquaintances. I love getting in conversations and seeing what God does with it, because I kind of expect him to do something with it, and he usually does. But that's not why I'm at the airport. Making acquaintances isn't why I'm at the airport. It's a good thing. But I'm there because I have a destination. I'm there because I'm going to go out somewhere else. You know, when God brings us into the church, in a lot of ways, it's like he's bringing us into the airport. But there's a time where he's going to give you your ticket. He's going to say, here's your flight, here's your ticket number, here's your destination, go. He brings us in order to send us back out. And when we answer that call from God, when we that first call to salvation, we're answering the call to be sent out, that he's going to do this. We're committing to taking that ticket from him and using it, not just hanging out at the airport for eternity, to use it and go out where he's sending us and then come back. I think about, sometimes we talk about trust in salvation. You know, God not only calls us to trust in salvation, he calls us to trust in following and trust in going. And that's a combined trust. If you trust him for eternity, you can trust him to speak to that person that you're a little nervous about talking to. Right? It's part of the same trust. Our third big idea tonight is that you are blessed, and I am blessed, to be a blessing. You are blessed to be a blessing. Are you more of a channel for the blessing of God to flow through, or are you a reservoir? Am I? Because God wants us to be more of a channel, that His blessings flow through us and don't just get stored up. See, if you're a channel, the way God wants you to be, when you receive His love, that love goes back out into the lives of other people. You're sharing God's love with others. If God gives you wisdom as you spend time in the Word, it's so that that wisdom can go back out and bless other people. If He gives you material things, and he likes to do that. He loves to lavish His children with good gifts. But it's also so that it can go back out and be a blessing to others for His glory. I think about when Kim and I got engaged to be married, one of the conversations we had was about where we would live. And we had a blended family. I had a son, she had three kids, both of us had very somewhat small houses at the time. We thought, how does this work? We've got two adults, we've got four teenagers, and honestly, I mean, her oldest two were already ready to kill each other because they were living, you know, too close a space. And so we just said, you know what, we have got to have something bigger or else we're going to kill each other or we'll probably kill them. So we did. We decided to build onto the house. But here's the thing, is that when we decided to build onto the house and God gave us the provision to do that at the time, we had a conviction that this was for God's purposes, not just for our pleasure. And so we committed very seriously, very somberly before the Lord that if we went forward and built onto the house, it's His house. And we expected Him to use it. We invited Him to use it. God, this is Your space. And for Him to surprise us with who He would bring and what He would do. And He did that. We had a foreign exchange student. We'd never thought about that before. But just somebody approached us. A Christian sister in Christ came to us from a Christian ministry that places foreign exchange kids from families that are not Christian, specifically the Christian homes, and said, how would you like the chance to impact this kid with the gospel of Jesus for a year?
Amen.
Was not on our radar, but we made a promise to God. That's His house. Absolutely. Bring it. And she said, well, there was a few options of different countries. So we chose Japan because of the options. It was the one that was least reached with the gospel among the young people. We wanted a kid who had never had an interaction with a Christian in his life. And he had. He'd never met a Christian. Mm-hmm. God brought him. Now, I don't know what the Lord is going to do with that. We're still in touch with him. And he hasn't surrendered his life to Christ yet. He's back in Japan. But for a year, we got to be God's instrument of planting seeds of the gospel in this young man's life. And I'm still in faith trusting there's going to come a phone call. Mm-hmm. And it may be 5 years or 10 years, but he says, guess what? I'm a follower of Jesus now.
Amen.
A time after that, there was a family that are friends of ours, and they got displaced. They'd lost their old home. They were trying to purchase and get into their new home. Something fell through. And for 3 months, they had nowhere to go. And three little kids. God's house. Now, I'm going to say take everybody in. We did pray about this. It's not God's will that like every single person comes into your home. Sometimes they bring some toxic things that God doesn't want there. These were brothers and sisters in Christ. How can we say no? Yeah. Moving on. So for 3 months, they were there. And it was not always easy. It's tough. It probably shouldn't be, but you know, we're human enough and fleshly enough that it's hard sometimes to have a family living under your roof, but we wouldn't take it back for anything. It was such a blessing for us to let God bless them in that way. Sometimes we struggle to do that, though. Sometimes we struggle to see our blessings as a blessing for other people. So one of the things that I'm going to do, and one of the things that I want to encourage you to do, is this, and this is our fourth big idea tonight from Abraham's life. To become the blessing, you need to take your hands off of everything you have and make God your trust. See, the reason we cling to stuff sometimes is that's where our trust and affections are. So we're going to take our hands off things, and we're going to trust the Lord. God is going to be our trust, and we're going to make His kingdom our delight. Of building our own kingdom.
Amen.
You look at the call of Abraham. God was not calling Abraham to minor changes. He wasn't calling him to just suck it up and walk across the street and hand the neighbor a tract. This was a major, major change of everything in his life that God was calling him to. A whole new basis for life for Abraham. And Abraham, probably where he came from, was probably somewhat well off. He had family, he had friends, he had history. He probably had respect. And God said, leave it all behind for a complete unknown. All the things that he had trusted in, possibly, or been tempted to be trusted in anyway. God called him to leave those things behind and trust the Lord alone. And that's what God is calling us to. God, when he calls us to follow him, saying, listen, the days of being about your kingdom are done. It's about my kingdom. But you've got to trust him for that to come about in your life. The temptation sometimes is thinking, well, I just need to add some Jesus to my life. I need my religious compartment and I'm good. I could still go out and do whatever with the friends, or I could still have, say whatever sort of hateful things at work, or I can still do this or that, or treat my spouse however, or I can, all these things, but I'm good because of grace and I've got my little Jesus compartment here. There's a problem with that. God, nowhere in his word ever will you find an example where he says, I want you to just add a religious component to your life. Even a religious component about Jesus. That's not what he's about. It means being called to trust God with everything every day. On a daily basis, that he is where your trust is for today and for your future. Wherever he's calling you to, you trust him with it. Because it's about his kingdom. You don't have to build up his kingdom, he does. So it's about following him, following his lead, letting him work through you to be a blessing and build his kingdom up. Our fifth big idea tonight, we talked about this last week a little bit. To become a blessing, you have to believe the impossible. To become the blessing God wants you to be, you have to believe the impossible. Abraham had to act upon the word of God just because God said it. There was no making sense of it. There was no sit down and write out the logical reasons why I should be doing this thing other than God said it. And he trusted God for the impossible over and over again in his life. You've got to believe that if God calls you to something that you think is impossible, he will give you the resources to accomplish it. If he has called you to it, he will give you the resources to accomplish his will. And it might seem impossible, but think about those words of John Calvin again. The invitation of God is very, really very simple. That childlike faith that he talks about. God's just saying, listen, I want you to close your eyes. Take my hand and trust me. That's what it comes down to each day. In the Bible, there's a word, kairos. Some of you may have heard of that. There's a prison ministry called kairos or kairos. Some people pronounce it. But it basically means are these moments, these very special moments, these opportunities where God meets you, and there's the opportunity to trust him in that moment for something very special to happen. Sometimes our own desires get in the way of that. Sometimes our possessions, our wealth get in the way of that. C.S. Lewis said that wealth has a way, and our desires have a way, of knitting our hearts, thinking they're just sewn with twine, knitting our hearts to the world. Those desires for the things of the world. That's very dangerous, spiritually, to let that happen to your heart. But God uses these special moments, these opportunities in our life that come about sometimes, to just step out in faith and trust him. Trust him anyway, no matter how things look, to believe for the impossible, to trust him and for something special to happen because of that. Yeah, I think about the passage in Matthew 6, where Jesus talked about, you know, where your heart is following your money, basically. And why he said that. And he was giving us a strategy. He was giving us a strategy to break that twine that's connected our hearts to the world. You know, God doesn't need us. He doesn't. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your talent. He doesn't need your whatever. And so when he tells us something like this, that's a Kairos moment in himself when Jesus said that about your money or your talents or whatever it is. When you let it go, when you release it to God's control to be used for his purposes, for the building of his kingdom, the purpose is for you to be set free. For that idol to be removed from your heart so that you can trust him more. You know, not every day do we have those moments, those Kairos moments of opportunity where God's calling us to trust him for something that's unknown to us. Where we do, it's a great opportunity for something to happen. But we all experience those moments. Those moments happen for everybody. But the thing is, for you to trust God when those big opportunities come, to trust him for something that's going to change your life, the foundation of that is trusting him in the little things each day. The simple things. Every day. So I just want to encourage you tonight that just that daily trusting him for everything, for every need, for his glory, for his kingdom, and as you do that, it's strengthening your faith for those more crucial moments that are coming. To trust him for great things that he's calling you out to. Father God, Lord, thank you for impressing on our hearts the reality of what it means to put our trust in you. Thank you, God, for those Kairos moments where our lives can be changed radically, God, as we trust you for the unknown. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here tonight that needs to trust you, that you're speaking through the hearts right now through the power of your Spirit, and you're challenging them, God, to trust you for something big, that you would give them the faith and the courage to do that. Lord, we want your will for our lives and not our own will. God, we want to have our identities grounded in you and not what we say or what the world says. God, we want your will to be done. Father, you call us to follow you into adventures that have uncertain endings. God, you put our feet on paths sometimes that sometimes even break our hearts, Lord, they're just so difficult. Some paths that we've never walked before. God, you take us sometimes even into dangers that are unknown to us. So, Father, I just pray right now that you would strengthen our faith, that you give us the faith to follow you with confidence because of who you are. You fill our hearts with courage, Lord, knowing that our hand is in your hand and you are the one leading. God, remind us that you are the one fighting every battle. Lord, I know there's many of us who came here tonight with a lot of battles in our minds and in our hearts that we haven't maybe aired out yet. But God, you see those things and you go before us and you fight our battles. God, we know that in the toughest moments of that, your love is carrying us. Lord, we know that as we talked about earlier in the Bible study, that you are seeing the good work you began in each of us through to completion. God, we marvel at that. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.